Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. If you are looking to retrain or upskill, our part-time degree in Bachelor of Business Lifelong Learning is specifically designed for learners returning to education. Take the next step in your career and visit lyit.ie today.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. My guest this week is Letterkenny businessman Gary Cooney, owner of Gary's Pet World, Cooney's Home and Terriers, Cooney's Home and Garden, petworld.ie, and Motorworld. Gary began by recalling how he ended up opening a pet shop on Pierce Road in September 1993.
I was working at the time in a garden centre and pet shop in Sligo that was owned by my aunt, and I wanted to do something for myself. So I got out the map of Ireland, looked at where the big dots were and the little dots were, and looked at Galway and looked at Letterkenny. So I would have come to Letterkenny for the rally, stayed up in Bernie Brennan's in the High Road every year, and rang Bernie and asked her could she put me up, which she did, and did a weekend here and did the following weekend in Galway looking at units, and couldn't get a unit that I felt right for me in Galway, so I ended up taking Larkin's unit here on the Pierce Road in Letterkenny.
So talk to me about the first day. We were looking at photographs there before we started recording, and you have a photograph actually of the first day in business just across the road here.
First day we met Mary Larkin at the shop. I was a young fella, probably naive. Gabriel wanted me to take a 3-year lease on the unit at the time, 2-year, 7 months lease it was, and I told him I would sign a year. Wasn't too sure how well it would go. And
How big was that unit?
3,000 square foot at the time, which I didn't know it at the time, but it was the biggest pet shop in Ireland at the time. Now, that didn't say much for what we had, but I suppose my attitude to it, I had worked as a hotel manager previously and trained as that, and I was even embarrassed to tell the guys that I worked with in the hotel business now that I was working in this pet shop, or even had a pet shop of my own, because pet shops back in those days were dirty, smelly, sawdust on the floor jobs, and I wanted mine to be tidier and cleaner. And I suppose my attitude is and was, if the animals are smelly or you go into the shop and there's a bad smell, well, you won't want to put that into your house. And that's how I thought back then. And
so you adopted an approach to fit your vision.
Yeah, I ran it, I suppose, I have high standards, and the people that work for me and know me know that I have high standards. And I think if your standards are high, which mine are, it might make me difficult to work for if your standards aren't high. But if you have high standards, then there's no issues. You know what I mean? And the customers, I suppose, appreciated it. You know, when we ran a clean operation. Back then it was easier managed when there was only me, and you know, my biggest challenge at the time was understanding people when they came in and they spoke to me in a very heavy Donegal accent. You mightn't be able to understand what they were saying, you know, and someone might have asked me for something then, and I might have said, no, I don't have it. And I could have had it, but I didn't know what they were saying. You know, today you can tell you what part of Donegal you're from nearly by your accent. But back then it was a challenge, you know.
So talk to me about setting up the shop, stock. And obviously it was a one-man show for quite a while.
I got a loan in the AIB bank. And three-year loan. And I went, because I had the experience in doing this for my aunt in Sligo. There was a company in Belfast that were big pet wholesalers. Went to them, ordered what I felt would carry me for a month. They gave me a month's credit, I think, at the time. And still dealing with them today. But there was an awful lot of lessons learned. Like, I bought fish food at the time that would have lasted us in Sligo a month, and it lasted me in Letterkenny a year, you know, because people didn't have fish. People weren't used to feeding their dogs because they had no supply of pet food maybe prior to that, you know what
did
I mean?
Did that surprise you?
Yeah, it did. I hadn't my research done on it. I just assumed that it would happen because it happened to me in Sligo, you know what I mean? But it was a lesson, you know, people. I remember people coming in asking for Feedwell dog food, and I didn't do Feedwell dog food, but we didn't do it in Sligo, so I didn't know to do it. So I just said no, like, and that customer mightn't have ever come back to me for a year or 6 months, or, you know, I should have been on the ball and I should have got it. And maybe at a later stage convert them to something better, or, you know, but I wasn't smart enough at the time. It was like mistakes I made, you know what I mean? But I learned from, the key to being in business or doing anything is learn from the mistakes that you make, you know. And I've probably made all the mistakes going, you know, but again, you learn and you learn and you learn, you know.
The business, Gary, it developed and evolved over time, and you took the move to go online sometime later.
Yeah, we went online in 1988, I think, is that right? And look, we're sitting now today is 2021. It probably kicked off for us in 2020 in the pandemic. Which was great. So that was what an 11-year overnight success. It just started to work. But yeah, it's still challenging. Online it's not easy to make money online. We have a big presence on the national level with petworld.ie. We have a good team in the office that run that end of it, but it's there's massive costs behind it. It's pay for click nearly with Google. You know, you want your name to appear in front of somebody, you have to pay for it. You know, but yeah, we're lucky. I'm surrounded by good people today, and they make it happen. You know, so it's not just a one man band today. It's there's a team, and I'm, I suppose, just a part of that team. You know, and I'm trying to encourage them and fix problems or be there for them when they have a problem, you know what I mean, and try and work it out. But we're still on a trajectory of growth. We still push forward. We're never happy with just sitting on our laurels. And today you can't be, because there's every day there's something new that challenges. You know, I mean, who would have thought that this pandemic would have come? Who would have thought that you would have had to close? Like when the first lockdown came, we were very, very lucky to be able to keep the pet shop open. But we had to close everything else. And
did you focus all your attention then on that, Gary, for that period?
Yes. Every like, you know, in our furniture business here now, we have our warehouse men and our delivery staff, and they all came into pet. Our online just took over, you know. And anyone that was willing to work or wanted to work within the company would go to pet if they wanted.
Yeah. You said it took over. In terms of percentage growth, can you give me an indication of year on year the rise during the pandemic in business?
We did more in the first month than we had done in the previous year. We did more in the first 3 months that we had done in the previous 3 years.
And was there one particular area of high demand?
I suppose things that come to mind, grooming, not in the very beginning, but people bought heavy. There was a massive demand for product. It was exceptionally difficult to get product. Everybody wanted it. Everybody thought the world was going to come to an end. You know, it's a bit like what happens at Christmas time. People stockpile up, and this is what was happening. And everybody was caught off the hop, I suppose, for it. But then over time, you know, you could see, like, we sold more electric clippers last year than we've sold ever, you know, by 10 times ever. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're putting out 30, 40, 50 set of clippers a day. We wouldn't sell 30 set of clippers in a year. Prior to that, you know, maybe you would have, but, you know, it wouldn't have been noticeable.
So you were ready for the pandemic, if that's correct?
We were able to handle it. You know, so we were able to handle it. Like, we had to change our picking area and packing area had to change. Like, had to get a carpenter in to, you know, do a lot of work and, you know, set up a different tray system and stuff that we were able to carry, put orders on hold, that if we didn't have the full order fulfilled, that we still had the order picked. You had 90% of the order. You might have been waiting on one piece. But if you had left that out, it mightn't be there when you go to pick it. So what you did is you picked what you had, and then you waited on that to come in. You'd contact your customer and say, look, I have... Maybe they wanted thinning scissors. We were bringing them out of Germany at the time, so you were able to say, look, I have a delivery from Germany, should be in with us in 5 days. Do you need the order now, or can you wait? So sometimes we'd have sent them out what we had, and we'd have sent the scissors out following that. But we found, like, we use DPD for our deliveries. DPD locally here in Donegal are fabulous. Mary and the crew up there are brilliant. They would have changed. They would have come into us in the morning. They'd have taken a load. They'd have come into us in the afternoon. They'd have taken a load, and we probably brought the last of the stuff up at 7 o'clock in the evening before we left on the way home. You know, on Saturdays and Sundays, I had to get my kids in to pick and pack. You know, they'll tell you about it if you see them. You
teach them early.
Well, you know, my eldest boy is 10, you know what I mean, but he's they enjoy it, you know what I mean, but it just had to be done at the time. You know, you have to do what you have to do to adapt and to, like, it's just, you know, look, it's not that way today, you know what I mean, and it's I'm just going back to normal, you know, but look, we were lucky to be able to adapt. And I think that the challenges that you face in business people have to be able to adapt. You have to change. You have to, and things change all the time. And that's the challenge, and that's probably the most difficult part for anybody, you know, including the staff at the time. You know, Bridget works in our office, and she's there for years. Like, she had to come down and pick and pack. She had to learn the internet end of the business, which she had never done before. You know, and this is, you know, it's for someone of her age, but when you come to a certain age, doing something new like that is frightening, you know, and you just say to yourself, well, look, I don't need the hassle. But everybody, and I am very lucky, but with very little exception, everybody put their shoulder to the wheel and carried it, you know. So Siobhan here working in furniture went in and worked in Pet, and goodness, like, she cleaned the shop from top to bottom while she was there, like, and worked very hard, you know, so...
Gary, we're sitting on one of your very comfortable sofas here in the interior section of your business. This faces onto Pierce Road. Can you talk me through the steps of outgrowing Pierce Road, retaining it, and developing and opening new business here on Retail Park just across the road?
Yeah, I know you'd look today and you'd wonder, how did we get to the mix as we have, but it's all very logical in my head anyway. We started doing Pet. Our customer predominantly was female. We started selling garden plants. I used to bought them from the same suppliers that would have supplied us in Tyne and Sligo, and that's what I knew. We carried them in and out on trays. On a Sunday, we opened 2 to 4, 2 to 6 on a Sunday. Probably took me 2 hours to take the stuff out of the shop and 2 hours to take the stuff back in.
Was that a busy time for you? Is that why you decided to open that time, or was it a trial run?
No, it wasn't busy, but you needed it all. You know what I mean? It took whatever money we took in Monday to Saturday just about covered the costs, and you needed Sunday to make profit. You know, so that's why I had to open 7 days a week back in the early days. We developed a bit of a garden centre beside the shop. We ran a very different model to most places, where most pet shops and garden centre had the pet shop as the sideline to the garden centre. In our business, the garden centre was a sideline to Pet, and gardening is seasonal, so that sort of made sense to me. We started, we were dealing with a company, Doyle's in Carlow. We bought dog kennels off them. They were importing them in from America at the time, that had a nitrogen in the roof of it, basically, that stopped the kennel overheating in the summer and kept it warmer in the winter, because there was no air in this little, it's like a sandwich of nitrogen in the roof of it. And they sold lawnmowers. And we started selling a few lawnmowers. And this was a big change to me, from selling a bag of dog food at a tenner. Now you're selling a lawnmower at 150 quid. And we took that, that grew then to selling quads and go-karts. And then the business probably outgrew itself. We took on a distribution for a UK company, EP Barris at the time. We and Motor World then was a retail in mainly at Christmas time in our pet shop, and we ran a wholesale business on the back of it, from the Harleys in the Mountaintop. We had warehouses there. That then in 2007/2008, times changed. We ran, I suppose, a very successful business. Nobody knew what we were doing, and it suited me to run it. You know, nobody saw it. Maybe Duffy's were in collecting stuff and delivering for us every day. But in 2007/2008, everything changed, and we had a warehouse full of stock and no customers to buy it. So we took a small unit off Larkin's on the Pierce Road here, in where Patrick Conahan operated Power Tools, and we started selling what we wholesaled to see could we shift a bit of it, and Motor World grew out of that. So that's where it came from. It was mainly necessity to turn into retail, as opposed to wanting to do it, you know.
I'm just thinking, Gary, is there anything that you don't sell or that you haven't sold?
Look, it's a product's a product, you know. The key to selling it is knowing what it is and knowing how it works and being able to back it up if it goes wrong, you know. Which, look, I'm not saying it's always the case, but we've got it right more times than we've got it wrong, you know. You can, stuff goes wrong, and it's a case then of, you know, trying to fix it and rectify it when it does, you know. And that then comes down to the suppliers that are backing you up, you know what I mean, and are they giving you the backup that you can give to your customer, you know. Like, there was a big wipeout in 2008 of suppliers, you know what I mean. The chain is damaged. I mean, the chain at the minute is getting damaged again because of COVID. There's massive issues with supply, massive issues coming down the line that I don't think people see yet. But we import a lot of stuff direct from different countries around the world. There's major shipping issues, shortages of containers.
Are you feeling the consequence of that now?
Yeah, we've been suffering that, I suppose, for over a year and a bit, a year and a half.
Is there any improvement? Or?
Oh, it's getting worse. And this Christmas will be probably worse. So anyone that wants something for Christmas, no matter what it is, get it early, because it probably won't be there to get if you leave it late, in my opinion.
And there, we'll take a break.
Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. Accelerate your workforce by enrolling them in one of our lifelong learning courses today. Visit lyit.ie for more information. LYIT Faculty of Business, designed by industry, delivered by experts.
You're welcome back. Before the break, Gary Cooney spoke about the impact the pandemic is continuing to have on the product supply chain.
I'll give you an example. Like, you know, we shipped 40-foot high cube containers before COVID at $2,500 and $3,000 a container, and today it's costing $16,000 a container. So the cost of that has to be added onto the product. Now, depending on where you are in the chain, you know, so if you're in our situation as an importer, we have to add the cost of that onto the stock. If we buy from a wholesaler, they've probably already added onto the cost of the stock, and then you put a margin on top of that. So you're putting a margin on top of the shipping. The minute we're not putting a margin on the shipping, so we just add the shipping onto it. we're very, very lucky. I suppose we saw a lot of this coming, and we bought very heavy at the start of this year. You know, we rented another warehouse at Tommy Murphy out the road there, and lucky Brendan McGlynn, again, good contacts, was able to get me that unit, and we filled it with furniture, you know. So we have furniture today. You know, I mean, and I'll give you a very good example. I'm selling a sofa there at 1495, and if I buy it today, it's costing me 1300 euros. And I'm able to retail it at 1495, and that just gives me an advantage, you know. And it was just being able, I suppose, to have the foresight and the wherewithal to do it when we did it, you know. Okay. But
your number of businesses, obviously, Cooney's Home Interiors, Cooney's Home and Garden, Gary's Pet World, Petworld.ie, and Motorworld. How do you manage to keep on top of all those things, or as it go back and as delegation and management, and how many people are you employing at the moment in total, Guy?
I don't know the answer to that directly, Kieran, and we're looking for staff at the minute, but I suppose, you know, go back to how you do it and how I'm doing it. The key to it is people. So I'm surrounded by really, really good people. Genuinely am. I know today what I need, and I know the type of person I need to work with me. And again, I know I have high standards. And maybe when I started years ago, I didn't realise that my standards were high. And that makes me hard to work for. If your standards aren't high, you know, if your attitude is, well, flip sake, it's only a pet shop, it'll do. But I suppose my thing is, well, it won't do unless it's right.
Is that why you've been successful?
I don't know. I mean, I can't say. You know, yeah, hard work, a little bit of luck, good people. You know, like, a lot has happened. You know, when you look back, you know, like, John Tinney worked for me, and John Tinney worked in Dillon's. And, like, Dillon's was, you know, Dillon's in this town closed when I came to the town. Like, there's a marvellous lesson to be learned for me. Like, we sold Christmas trees in Sligo, right, okay? We sold them at five pounds, 5 pence, and we bought them off Quilcha. So I went to Quilcha, and I bought the trees off Quilcha in Sligo in my first year here, back at Christmas 1994. Quilcha cut them and they left them at the side of the road, went down in a car transporter and loaded them onto a car transporter and towed them out of the forest. And I remember I hadn't gone 100 yards, the trailer slipped off the road with the muck. I had to unload the trees, get the trailer back on the road, reload the trees, get them to Donegal, wash them all now because they were all covered in muck, and went to sell them at a fiver. And Dillon's were selling them at £3. So I had to sell them at £3. Like, that was hard, you know, it was a lesson learned, like, you know. And do your homework. Brendan McGlynn got put John my way, and I was young, John was a lot older. I thought to myself, you know, this, you know, kind of guy of his age and maturity, would he take direction from me? But John taught me so much, you know, and, you know, we remained good friends for, you know, after he retired, you know. And he is, you know, he comes from great people, lovely family, you know, he's a wonderful wife, and she would still call in to see us, you know. But the like of that is I feel humbled, you know what I mean, and would be very grateful for having met John. And you know, John would his attitude was, there's no point in stacking it up unless you give people reason to buy it, you know. And simple things like that would have stuck with me, that he brought to the table, you know. And today, you know, in our furniture business, it has gone well. You know, we try our very, very best to offer good customer service. It's really about the customer. We buy the product. I like to think we buy it well. We do our best to source it. You know, it's the shop has evolved. You know, you asked, how did we get to furniture? I wanted to move from Larkin's into a bigger shop. We we approached the retail park here. I wanted 7,000 square foot. They didn't have 7,000 square foot at the time. They offered me 18,000 square foot. And I went, right, okay, 18, what will we do? I had it at a good price. We were dealing with the receiver at the time. And we went to take the 18,000 square foot. Turned out then I had to put a wall down the middle between it and the other 18,000 square foot. And that wall was costing between 80 and 100,000 to build. And I went, right, I went back to him and I said, look, if I took the rest of it, how much would it be? So we did a deal for the rest of it. And that's why we ended up with the shop that we had, which is now, it was where Atlantic Home Care was. We got the keys of that shop. It was empty. It was bigger than, I don't know how many football pitches. And we opened it to the public 45 days later. Now, it was, you know, you'd wonder now how you did it, but look, we had a good team. We were able to do it. And necessity, I needed it. I needed, we did 24-hour shifts. Or, you know, we closed the pet shop on the Pierce Road at the time for one day. But I couldn't afford any longer than one day not to trade, you know, because we were to the pin of her collar to get the shop open, you know.
You strike me, Gary, as someone who wants to take the notion, that's it.
Look, it's not saying it's easy. I think once you break it down into simple, right, okay, and simple is having a target, right, okay. So, you know, you got up this morning, we said we're going to meet at such and such a time. So you needed to do whatever you needed to do and be here at the time that we had agreed to meet at. And that was your target. And you did that unknown to yourself, you know. And someone needs to be in work for 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning. They get up, but they know what time they need to get up, but they know their routine. And, you know, they have a target. Now, it's all about having those targets, knowing what you want to achieve. Like, we hope to open Christmas shop this year earlier than we've ever operated before. We have 90% of our stock already in. We're very lucky to have it in. We have one supplier can't deliver into us until November, but it's not, you know, it's neither here nor there whether we get it or we don't get it. But we knew last year that we needed it in early, and I know a lot of suppliers aren't going to have or can't get Christmas stock this year. You know, there's going to be a major shortage of Christmas trees, artificial Christmas trees anyway, and ours is sitting in, so we hope to get it in and get it out early. Like, it's hard to know what'll happen. The government say that everything is going to reopen, but sure, look, we could be in lockdown by November. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not saying we. You know, who knows? It's this. These are the uncertainties that we're dealing with. You know,
Gary,
the difficulties.
When you set up on Pierce Road initially, a lot of the buildings that are surrounding us now were either in the process of being built or weren't built. You've witnessed huge change over the last 28 years in Letterkenny.
Oh, massive changes, yeah. Yeah, look, there's, you know, take the one-way system. Desi Larkin, he fought for the one-way system, you know. But there's an awful lot of good men have contributed to it, you know. John McGill, the Ulster Bank, Paul Reynolds, you know, just, you know, to name two. Tony Kelly put a garage down on he operated originally from where Barlow's site was there on the corner. You know, there's, look, Barlow, for example, you know, he and I competed selling garden plants. Like, he's gone on to build a fabulous, successful hotel. And, you know, credit to him, you know, but the town had people like him, like Tony Kelly, you know, PJ Doherty came from Guidor, came in. Look what he did to the town. He did so much for the town, you know. And men like him, like, were good to me when I came to the town. Like, Patrick Doherty rented me a flat. And I remember I had a two-bedroom flat when I came. First of all, I had a workman stayed in it. And then some months later, I couldn't afford the two-bedroom flat, he moved me into a one-bedroom flat, you know. And, you know, he was good to me. Well, I felt he was, you know what I mean? And it was I've always very grateful for the like of that, you know. But like where we're sitting in the retail park here, Page had already built it. He had the wherewithal to build it. Patrick Bonner, you know, from Bonner Engineer, you know, they got land on this. They put the roads in, you know, on what we have here, Chemlex. So, you know, I'm very lucky to be a part of the get up off your ass type of attitude that Donegal people have, you know, and, you know, that's, you can see it, you know, but up here it's different, and like, I'm very lucky to be a part of it, you know, I think anyway. Mm-hmm.
You were Letterkenny Chamber President for a year, Gary. Did you enjoy that experience?
Yes. Challenging. I think the Chamber in Letterkenny are a brilliant addition to the town. Their attitude today to working with the council and working with businesses is second to none. And Condon was a part of it. And, you know, deserves great credit for all she has done in it. Tony Forrester's in it today. And there's a great bunch of guys that, I suppose, try and bring a positive, attitude, or, you know, they have a positive attitude, but they bring a positive message out. Like, the Chamber is representing the business people in the town. But I think they do a real good job. The working with the council, their attitude of working with the council is tremendous. You know what I mean? The fact that they look at, it's not a them and an us. We'll all try and work together because we all have the same goal. And the LYIT in town become a big part of that. And this year's president is Michael Margie. You know, he's a good guy, works in the LYIT. You know, so you're bringing in bank managers, ordinary business guys, you know, the like of me who just had a pet shop, you know what I mean? But, you know, it was good for me to get to know people. And, look, I'm not saying I did much for us, but everybody did a lot, you know what I mean? And it was handled, you hand that chain of office over to the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. And if everybody has done a little bit, then it ends up where it is today, you know.
Gary, if you could give your 21-year-old self a bit of business advice, what would that be?
Probably the advice I would give to my kids: study hard at school and get a job as an accountant or a teacher or something.
If you weren't running the number of businesses that you are at the moment, what do you think you'd be doing with your life?
I don't know.
You mentioned the hotel management. I would like to go back on that one a wee bit. What threw you in there, and where did you work for at that time?
Worked in the Burlington in Dublin. I went to college in Dublin, and then I got a summer job, and that was the end of college. You know, so I started earning money, and once I didn't have to go and ask. Like, I hated having to ask my parents for money and asking for that handout, you know, and once I got a taste of, you know, and it wasn't much, but it was enough. And you always had enough to go drinking, and you always had enough, you know, you might have to go into the hotel on your day off to eat. But that was a lesson, you know. It was a hard graft back in those days. We did all the departments within the hotel, and got to meet some great people out of it. I worked in the Burlington in 92 when Donegal won the All-Ireland. The fellas took doors off hinges and stuff, and you'd wonder what they were ever going to do with the doors, but you know, there was nuts stuff that went on. But it was that hospitality game, like, they have been through so much of recent time. Like, it's you know, if you're in the pub game, in the hotel game, like, in the restaurant game, and even services like the theatre and the cinema across the road, you know what I mean? These businesses suffered so much in the last number of years. Now, they need, like, the tourist industry locally, thankfully, has been good, but they need our support more so than ever, you know what I mean? And like, I think one of the things I would probably encourage people to do is shop local and spend as much money locally as they can, because that money goes around back in the circle, you know, you sometimes you spend it with a big chain of shops that goes out of the circle, and the only advantage to that money is the wages that of the staff, that the people that are paid in the business. But look, yeah, what advice would I have for a 21? What would I do? I don't know, Janie, Max.
Would you do it all again?
Probably would. You know, what else do I know? You know, I don't know. It's there's challenges, and it's I enjoy the growth. We have been very lucky. You know, we did the deal with Home Store and More. They moved into our shop where we were. We moved up into here. We took four shops. You know, there was originally four shops here, knocked three into one in the furniture shop, and carried Pet as a standalone business. And the business has grown and grown and continues to grow. Now, yes, you have your lockdowns, but you know, thankfully, one of the things that people wanted to do is in the lockdown is do up their houses. So, you know, they did the outside of their house and then they buy the furniture for the inside of the house. Like, we've had a spin-off from that, and we've been lucky, you know. And there's nothing other than luck. There's no calculators. You know, we did this because we knew this was going to happen. She never knew it was going to happen, you know. But you don't know what's around the corner, so.
Speaking of around the corner, finally, Gary, what lies ahead for yourself and your business?
I think the key is to consolidate and grow foundations under what we have. I have currently no plans to do anything other than sit tight and try and ride the storm that comes with COVID or whatever comes our way. As I say, we've had a number of businesses closed now for long periods of time, and that change and uncertainty has been difficult. It's difficult on I suppose business owners when you don't know, you know, and you try and put on a brave face and you try and say, yeah, no, things are going to be okay, but you really don't know because it's out of your control. I think that's one of the probably biggest things I could say to somebody is only worry with what you have control over. Don't worry what you don't have control over, because there's nothing you can do about it, you know. But yeah, we're here, Kieran, end of 2021, going into 2022. I think we're going to have to learn to live with this COVID. I think it will be something that, as a human goes, you know, we'll live with, and then something else will happen, and we just need to get on with it, you know. Do the best that we can, you know.
Gary Cooney, thanks so much for joining us today on Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran. Take care.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guest, Gary Cooney. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. If you are looking to retrain or upskill, our part-time degree in Bachelor of Business Lifelong Learning is specifically designed for learners returning to education. Take the next step in your career and visit lyit.ie today.